Welcome to another episode of the Weekly Podcast. I guess we'll get right into it. This story is horrendous. This is one of the most disgusting human beings on the face of God's earth. This is part two to Sean Christopher Williams, the case out of Johnson City, Tennessee. And it goes deep. It goes deeper than what we thought. Starting with, it's got sex, drugs, money, corruption. Sean Christopher Williams will be one of the most prolific serial rapists and child predators in the United States and maybe the world. He is a monster. And in this episode, I want to go through the timeline of kind of when he became, when he started to get onto the radar, what happened, and kind of how it came about that he was even arrested for any crime. Because when he was arrested, it wasn't for his most horrendous crimes, and we'll get into that. So, Sean Christopher Williams, he owned a business in Johnson City, Tennessee. He's the owner of Concrete, Glass, and Rehabilitation, Johnson City. He has plenty of money. He is known for money, nice homes, several condos, sports cars, drinking, drugs, and lots of people around spending his money, doing his drugs, especially young girls. And he used his drugs as a means, you know, he used it as a means to fill his twisted, sick need. So, in the early, we'll say, who knows how long the parties had went on, but we'll say 2019-2020. Right around June of 2020, rumors of Sean Williams raping a couple of women come to surface. And a few women make complaints with the Johnson City Police Department. Now, nothing ever comes of these complaints. They don't investigate. They don't interrogate Sean Williams. They don't ask him any questions. They do nothing. Until September of 2020. And a young woman with the last name of Evans is drugged, raped, and falls five stories from Sean Williams' apartment. Now, at the time she falls, they're having a party. And no one sees anything. Because you have someone fall 50 feet, it's going to have to be investigated. And Johnson City Police, they do investigate it. They investigate it as a possible attempted homicide. They issue search warrants for his safe. They collect evidence from his apartment. Now, this is when Catherine Dahl, a state's attorney that's in the Johnson City Police Department's office, she's contracted to look at federal cases that may come through Johnson City. Now, the police issue the search warrant, and they go into his safe, and Sean Williams is a felon. He's a convicted felon for what? I don't know. Couldn't find what his charges were. But he's a felon, and they find ammunition in his safe. That's a no-no as a felon. So, they confiscate his computers, and they take the ammunition. Now, in the end of 2020, now she falls in September. Around the end of 2020, the Johnson City Police Department closes the case into Miss Williams' fall and to the rapes. So now at this point, Catherine Dahl wants to investigate further into these allegations, and she's heard of other women coming forward, the rumors, and Johnson City Police Department's having none of it. So what happens here is she's able to secure a warrant for Sean Williams only on the charges of having the ammunition. That's it. That's it. Then she finds out, this is Catherine Dahl, that her contract is not going to be renewed, and she is out of the Johnson City Police Department. So, around, this is the end of 2020, okay? So, from the early parts of 2021, Sean Williams has a warrant. It comes through, I think it's issued in April of 2021. It's how long it takes Catherine Dahl to get that warrant. She is let go around this time. They don't renew her contract. And a few months pass, and the Johnson City Police Department go to talk to Sean Williams and arrest him for this weapons charge. But they don't. They just ask him to come down to the police department or come out. He says no, and they leave. And this is when Sean Williams basically disappears, May of 2021. Now, from May of 2021 to May of 2022, this is when all the lawsuits start to come up in Washington County and Johnson City. Catherine Dahl files a lawsuit and has several women on this lawsuit with her stating that Sean Williams raped them. So she files a lawsuit against the Johnson City Police Department for basically them not even following up on these rape allegations, not investigating them, not doing their job, stonewalling, almost blocking her really from investigating Sean Williams. She finds that odd. Why is that? In between this year, this May 2021 to May 2022, Sean Williams has the warrant. He's disappeared. He's able to go to the clerk's office in Washington County. He makes a scene there several occasions, and he manages to sell three condos that he owns in the same building that the rapes and the fall happened in Johnson City. So this is when all the lawsuits starts coming up. The lawsuit is filed against Sean Williams and Johnson City Police Department. And they don't use his name. They use a Vo, Richard Vo, as an alias, I guess, not to alert Sean Williams that there's a lawsuit against him, or maybe that they're hoping for an ongoing investigation. But either way, from May 2021 to May 2022, Sean Williams is able to get his affairs in order, basically. And he's able to sell three condos. And in that time, the Johnson City Police Department is being audited by an Eric Daigle, in the handling of the sexual, the Sean Williams sexual assault cases. Now that year goes by, we're looking now at, I'm gonna look at my notes. This case is crazy. And I write things down, sorry. So she's curious as to why nothing was ever done with these cases. You wonder, does he know somebody? Has somebody been at his parties? Does he have information on someone in high places? He's got his tentacles in more than what people would imagine, I think, because he had money, he owned a business, he threw parties, he probably knew people in high places, he probably knew people in law enforcement. So who knows? Who knows? So the lawsuit's moving forward over the next year. Several women come forward. Several. And Sean Williams is still on the run. He is eventually found, and I feel like, and we'll get to that in just one second. Eric Daigle sent in. He's doing the audit. Basically, before Sean Williams is picked up, they conduct their audit, and they find liable that the police did not investigate over 30 sexual assault cases, and Police Chief Carl Turner takes an early retirement. So there was something to that, and they were found that they did not do their due diligence. We don't know why, but it happened. Now, Sean Williams, you got a Western Carolina University campus police officer that finds Sean Williams. He sees a car sitting in a parking lot, and it's Sean Williams. They find that he's on the run. Now, what I find ironic, well, I was trying to find the date. I wrote that down right in front of me. Right in front. Excuse my papers. This case is so crazy. April 2023. Sean Williams is found in a parking lot on the Western Carolina campus, the university. Now, what I find ironic is at the time he's on the run, he's facing a weapons charge. That's it, an ammo charge. So what does he go on the run for? Is he running from that? Or does he feel like there's something else? Because remember, they confiscated some electronics when they done the search warrant early on. And those computers sat in evidence. We'll get to that in a minute. I find that odd. So they take him to jail. Now, they find 14 ounces of cocaine on him and 12 ounces of meth. So, come to find out, Sean Williams was also a big-time drug dealer. So, he's got connections to the police. He's got connections to people in high places in business. Possibly government, now large drug cartel type dealers, because he was moving a lot of weight in Johnson City. Now, because he was found with the drugs in North Carolina, this allows Mike Little to file for a search warrant on some of the things they find on Sean Williams. So they find a few thumb drives, and because of the drugs, Mike Little's argument to the court is that it might show other players in the drug game, conspiracies, different things. Anyway, he gets a search warrant to search the thumb drives and a search warrant to search the computers that are in Johnson City's evidence room, sitting, not touched, not searched, not issued a search warrant for, not looked at for 2 years. Now, this is where the Sean Williams case starts to turn extremely dark. They find enough stuff on these electronics and these thumb drives to basically put Sean Williams under the prison for life. And what they find on these thumb drives is enough that when he gets to prison, he'll be killed in prison for what he's done. So April, he's sitting in the North Carolina jail. They're issuing search warrants. They're collecting evidence. May to June, he's transported back to Washington County. Now in July, he tries to escape from Washington County, and that's what gets him moved to Laurel County, Kentucky. So he's in Kentucky awaiting hearings and things like that at the federal courthouse in Greenville, Tennessee. Now, with what they found on the electronic devices, I'm going to read you what he's been charged with. And I apologize because this is very, 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 very sexual. It's very explicit. Very. So on these thumb drives and these electronics, when I say this, these are things that they found on both of these. He has videos of Sean Williams raping numerous women. Numerous. Over 50. Thousands of child pornography images and videos. It shows on this computer that these rapes occurred at one of his apartments that was on the 200 East Main Street in Johnson City, Tennessee. He assaulted two children at this same apartment. And he is charged. Let me get my other paper because I wrote this. I can't believe this. This is a monster. This is a monster. So Sean Williams is charged with, now remember, all this was recorded basically on his electronic devices. The warning, this is graphic. One count of aggravated rape of a child under 2 years old. Sexual exploitation of a minor and unlawful photo. Two counts of rape of a child for another under 13. Three counts of aggravated sexual battery of a child under 13. 20 counts of sexual explicit aggravated sexual exploitation of a child. This is what Sean Williams is charged with. Now, you talk about a man that's desperate to get out of custody. His freedom, his life depends on him getting away. Because this, and they've not charged him with these rapes of these other women, but they have videos of him raping over 50 women. This man was involved with a sex trafficking ring. There's no doubt about it. He even sounds like he may be the higher up on a underground, just dark. Oh my God. And I believe he's got people in high places. I believe he's got them by the balls. I believe there's some corruption that's going on in this situation. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. We're dealing with, like I said, one of the most prolific rapist child predators in this country. He was allowed to operate under the noses, in my opinion, of law enforcement for a reason. This man has his tentacles. He's connected with his business. He's connected to politicians. He's connected to police departments. He's connected to drug cartels. And he's also connected to underground dark web child sex trafficking rings. There is no telling the connections this man has for hiding out, for protection, because for the many years he got to have his parties, rape his women, and no one investigated. Well, even when someone fell from a 50 foot down to the fucking ground from his balcony, it was shut and closed and not investigated. Through all of this, the best that Miss Dahl could do in charging Sean Williams is an ammo charge. She got blocked in every aspect from the Johnson City Police Department. We're past that, okay? Sean Williams, finally, it comes to light what kind of monster he really is. What kind of monster he really is. But do not forget, don't be fooled. This man has connections. This man has connections. He was allowed to operate for years. Now, you wait till you hear the rest of the story and tell me he doesn't have connections. So, his attorney, Bryce McKenzie, wants to be removed from the case. And in October, that's why he was being transported from Kentucky to Greenville, Tennessee, for this hearing for Bryce McKenzie to be removed as attorney. It's about an hour and a half drive to the courthouse from where he was at. Now, what happens next is where we stand with this story now. Sean Williams is in Kentucky because he tried to escape. Okay? Now, here's what happens in October. We've got a small transport van bringing Sean Williams to the courthouse. We've got two guards, one driving, one watching the inmates. And I say inmates because there were two inmates. This is including Sean Williams, one other individual. About an hour and a half drive from Kentucky to Greene County, Laurel County. They're handcuffed, their leg irons with belly chain, metal grate over the windows, and a camera on board of the transport van. Now, according to guards, they drive an hour and a half. It's not known if they stop anywhere, whatever. They get to the Sally Port in at the federal building in Greene County, Tennessee, go around, open the back door, see the window kicked out, and open it and see one inmate sitting there. Sean Williams has escaped. He's done this. Now, I don't know the inmate. There's no word of what he's saying happened, or he's not talking. If he is, we don't know anything about it. That's probably for his own safety if he is. So what we're supposed to believe is that Sean Williams freed himself from his bindings. Sean Williams removed the metal grate. Sean Williams kicked out the window. Just so happened, the camera is not working, and the guards seen nothing. Really? So we don't know how many times the van stopped in between the hour and a half. Probably stopped once. And what I find odd is that when there was a couple of sightings, supposed sightings of Sean Williams in Greene County, but nothing confirmed, and I don't believe he was ever in Greene County. If he was in Greene County, they would have flooded that area. They would have set up a perimeter, and they would have captured him no problem, because if he wouldn't have been able to get away. If this is a spur-of-the-moment thing like they talk about, it's just ridiculous. I'm going to tell you what my opinion is, and like I said, when I come back, this is my opinion only. I'll be right back. Thanks. So we know basically that there's no way that Sean Williams done all this. That's the perfect escape, and we're supposed to believe that this happened just on a spur of the moment. Oh, let me... I think one of the guards come out and said that he used the headrest for prying the metal back and used a paperclip to free his bindings. A fucking MacGyver Houdini. Listen, if this right here doesn't tell you how deep Sean Williams' tentacles goes into higher ups, whether it be politics, businessmen, law enforcement, nothing else will. After 10 hours after his escape, his trail is 100% cold. No one has any idea where Sean Williams is. You know, this is the perfect escape, and a total disappearance of Sean Williams is not something that under normal or less than normal circumstances could ever happen. Okay, even if he gets out of his restraints and he gets out of the van, he should not be able to get far if he's on foot in prison clothes. If they thought Sean Williams was in Greene County, Tennessee, they would have flooded that area, set a perimeter, and we would have seen it on TV every day. Something is off. He was let out somewhere between Laurel County, Kentucky, and Greene County. There's no way that Sean Williams made this escape, and all these things lined up, and everything happened like it did, without the help of someone on the inside and someone on the outside. And like I said, in my opinion, Sean Williams has a network of help. He has a network because all of his life has been one, how do I word this? He's had to set up things to hide all this pornography and this child pornography and this child raping and things like that. He's set up with a dark web underbelly of fucking filth community. There's no way that he's connected like he is with drug cartels and child sex rings, that he has help from somebody on the outside, whether it be his drug connections or whether it be his sex trafficking ring connections. These people operate in the shadows. They operate in the shadows. They have networks of people. Now, his connections or whatever he might have on law enforcement individuals is what maybe helped him to escape. Maybe he has blackmail on one. I'll show you the tape of, I got you taped at my house at this party doing this. Or money, because he had time from May of 2021 to May of 2022 to sell 3 condos. And he had tons of sports cars. He had plenty of money, plenty of drugs. So he had the connections. He had the connections to disappear. And he had the connections to buy his way out of a custody. There's no other way around it. There's only one alternate theory that I have. And my alternate theory is, he has the connections to help him escape. He has the connections to help him hide. But maybe he's run out of money. Maybe this cost him more than what he had, because it cannot be cheap. You know, maybe it cost him hundreds of thousands to get to wherever he's going and hide, change his identity, 20, 30, whatever that cost him to get free from custody. Because in the last month, there's been 2 bank robberies. One in Asheville, North Carolina, and a few days later, a Truist Bank in Johnson City, Tennessee. In my opinion, the pictures that I've seen of both of these bank robbers, I think they could be Sean Williams. It may be unlikely because he should have plenty of money, plenty of cash, have everything together, but unless he couldn't get to it or he didn't have enough, maybe he's still around. You know, he had to rob the banks because maybe without robbing the banks first because of a hiccup in his plan. Because I don't think he ever honestly planned on getting caught sleeping in North Carolina. But I think he had been partying. I think he'd been up, and I think he'd been on the meth and the drugs, and he wasn't thinking with a clear head for someone on the run trying to stay free. So maybe he needed more money, whatever it may be. But you know, paying for his escape. Guards in the transport van helped. Song Williams escaped and let him do these things and let him out somewhere else where he had clothes and a ride. But look at those bank robberies in Asheville, North Carolina, Johnson City. That's just an alternate theory that maybe he needed a little bit more money before he left the area. But one thing I want to point out before I end this episode, this guy, it turns out, it's just so crazy how these stories unfold, that this story, it turns out that we're dealing with such a monster. And this monster has had free reign with no checks from law enforcement to do what he wants for years. And then when they do put a spotlight on him, it's not with the full force of law enforcement. It's almost like a little hesitation. And then when you finally get charges for this monster, he escapes with the help or no help from law enforcement, somebody on the inside, outside, whatever. And maybe at the end of the day, none of this is true. Maybe he got a paperclip. He got his locks jimmied. He jumped out at the courthouse, ran down the road, and for some reason, no one can find a fucking find him anywhere. Whatever. The guys at the Clinton Correctional Facility in North Carolina, New York, planned their thing out and had help on the inside, but didn't have nowhere near the help apparently that Sean Williams had, and it took them forever. And their plan was well laid out, and their ride didn't show up, so they were in an area, and they circled and closed the area and found them. But one point I want to make out, or one point I want to make so it sticks in your mind, is the aggravated rape of a child under two, that charge happened December the 20th of 2020. This is when it occurred, because it's videoed. This is just months after the Evans girl fell in September of 2020. And it's pointed out that if JCPD would have listened to Catherine Dahl and investigated and not dropped it and put a little more effort into taking Sean Williams off the street, because they had the evidence to do it, he would have been off the streets in December of 2020. When this rape occurred. That's just something to think about. So, a couple of things here to end. I have had a source tell me that they were told that Sean Williams is not inside the United States anymore. He has connections in Mexico with drug cartels, and he is embedded in the drug scene in Mexico. I would believe that. So, at the end of the day, This case has got everything turned up on its head, because not only do we have a monster living in Johnson City, we have the Johnson City Police Department being audited and basically sued for not following these sexual assault cases, not investigating these sexual assault cases, and found liable. They weren't doing their job. Corruption was there. The police chief, Carl Turner, has to take early retirement. There's corruption here. Not only do we have a prolific fucking serial rapist and a child predator, we've got corruption in law enforcement. We've got a drug dealer, a big drug dealer. We've got someone that runs a sex trafficking ring. Who are these victims? Who is this two-year-old? I mean, I know they're not going to say that's all what I mean, but where does this come about? You know, he just got a two-year-old and three girls under 13, and one of them is raped for another, so somebody was, what the fuck is going on? I feel like they want to hide it. They don't want Sean Williams in a courtroom. Somebody doesn't. I don't know why. But this story has got corruption. It's got drugs. It's got sexual predator. It's got escape. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it's just getting started. Where is Sean Williams? Where is Sean Williams? He is a monster that needs to be locked up. Google the case. Look it up. Study some of it for yourself, because this case is unfolding as we speak. He's not been convicted, but like I told you, everything that he's been charged with has been on video. So he knows if he goes to prison, he's going to go for life, and then B, he's going to be killed because he's a chomo. He's a damn child rapist. He's a fucking piece of shit. And they don't take too kindly to that. They deal with shit their own way in there. This is the weekly podcast. Thank you for listening. I want to end on a lighter note. November. Damn it, I wrote that down. I wanted to do my little speech. Hold on, I'm going to find it. I know you don't like to hear my papers rattling in the back. I think it's so unprofessional. You know what? I know what it is. Hold on. November is National Adopt a Senior Dog Month. I am a huge animal and little creature lover. I love the little raccoons and possums that I feed on my back porch. I love my pig. I love my two cats and my five dogs. I share everything I have with every one of them. Once a week, I volunteer at Noah's Ark Animal Rescue in Morristown, Tennessee, and I absolutely love it. I've always said, if I ever make any money with my podcast or my content, half of everything I make will help rescue animals. So be kind and share your home and heart with a sweet dog, cat, or any little sweet animal that you choose. It's fine in my book. So any donations you make to our podcast through our Cash App link, or you do it through Anchor or whatever, and hopefully we can generate a little bit of money for them, because they do good work. And I enjoy helping animals. I love them. So end on a little lighter note, because this story just fucking disgusts me, this Sean Williams. But I don't think we've heard the end of the tentacles of Sean Williams in the East Tennessee area, because they run deep and they run far. This is another episode of The Weekly Podcast.